The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, live from Bar Canada here at the D in glorious downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Still to come this hour, Rufus Peabody joins us. For those who are unfamiliar, again, Rufus made his hay. He does a lot of other things, bets a lot of golf. You'll appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
But really made his name betting this week or these 2 weeks heading up to Super Bowls. That's how he first gained notoriety. He and his betting group, his old buddies, Big Zach, Little Zach, Train, that group. For those who have been immersed in sports betting for much time, what a group it was. And Rufus still doing big things with all of this. And so we'll get him in here at the table to discuss all things Super Bowl 58 and just his trajectory in all of this. He's also the co-host of the Bet the Process podcast that he does with Jeff Ma, half of the Massey Peabody team. Jason Weingarten standing by as well. We get tweets, by the way, at Beat of the Book. I just want to read these two. This is from Jim. He said, usually don't look forward to working out, but I am tonight to listen to the Lifestyle Pod, March Madness. Here we come. Johnny Ringo, Tracy Chapman had two hits. I will not stand for this Tracy Chapman hate. He's right. I forgot about Give Me One Reason. He's absolutely right. And the numbers guys responded with, give me one reason not to send this tweet. So, yes, you're right. I'm sorry, Tracy Chapman fans out there. You had two hits. That's right. That and Fast Car, of course. Usher. Because we haven't talked about Usher since last week. Obviously, the halftime performance coming from Usher. And the big question in some faraway places is what the first song is going to be. And my handicap remains the same as it did last week. And just to refresh on that, he starts most of his set list with a song called My Way. For those of you who know Usher's catalog, you're familiar with My Way. But My Way is not a real song to start a Super Bowl set with. So even though usually that's how we do these Super Bowl halftime handicaps of what the first song is going to be, we go to their set lists. That's how we won on Katy Perry, etc. But that's not going to be the case, I don't think, with Usher, because My Way is not exactly a banger, if you will. So the question then becomes, what is the first song? And I speculated last week, it's going to be one of three. It's going to be Oh My God, which is OMG, really, is how it is as the title. OMG. Yeah. And the other one that I consider was DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again, but that's more of an EDM one, and I don't think he's starting with that. He said he's emphasized the R&B side of things. So I think it's OMG or Yeah. Yeah, with an exclamation point, Kelly. OMG now the prohibitive favorite at minus 250.
Usher to perform a cover minus 180?
Yeah, I have no thoughts on that. And man, here's the thing.
If he's got a lot of his own stuff.
If he only does two lines of it, then then he's performed it, right? So you know how these guys go. The other thing,
especially these halftime shows, they feel like they do like 15 seconds of a song and then move on to something else.
Well, remember the controversy with, was it Coldplay? What the first song was, where they like started with like 45 seconds of something and then they moved on to another? Well, whatever they did with the 45 seconds one, that one cashed for those. Then there's the other thing, which is who will appear on stage with Usher during the halftime show? By the way, do we have Jason Weingarten at all? We do have Jason. Okay. Lil Jon minus 200, Ludacris, Luda, that's Kelly's guy, minus 160. And then Alicia Keys now down to 3-1 from 4-1. I don't have any inside information on this. I just want to say that I used to work with the current head of Apple Music many, many years ago. And I know that if he wants to, they're in control of his halftime show. If he wanted to pick up the phone and say to Alicia Keys, Alicia, I want you to be part of the halftime show, she would do it in a heartbeat because he was integral to her success. So Alicia Keys might not be the worst bet. I hadn't made it. I didn't make it myself. But I'm just letting you know that that would be a direct line to her showing up on stage with Usher.
Would she pick up your call?
What's that?
Would she pick up your call? Could you get her out there?
Sadly, she would not.
No, okay.
She'd be like, who dis? ladies and gentlemen, Jason Weingarten would pick up my call, though I hope. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, Southern Cali, at Spreadopedia. He joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I heard there was a lot of rain in LA this weekend, so I escaped for a bit. I'm out in Palm Desert.
You've never sounded clearer than you do as you are right now from Palm Desert. So you got out of Dodge, huh? Good for you.
Yeah, had to, you know, get away from the rain for a bit.
All right. So what does Jason want? Are you headed to Vegas? Is this part of your travel to Vegas? Are you going to be at the Super Bowl?
I might. It's definitely a possibility that I'll be in Vegas. I have a ticket. I don't know if I'm going to use it. It's a standing room only, but I might show up in Vegas later this week.
Okay. Remind the good folks what you've bet here.
I have not bet a ton on the Super Bowl yet. I bet some Kansas City. I'm waiting for some props, actually. The best thing I want to bet, Travis Kelce unders. Have we talked about this yet, Gil?
No, we have not. Give us your theory on that.
So you can't hit Patrick Mahomes. Not allowed. He gets the Brady rules these days. But you have to take away his biggest weapon. And Travis Kelce is his biggest weapon. If I'm the San Francisco defense, I'm trying to, you know, come up with a game plan this week. My entire game plan is to take out Travis Kelce, to just physically hurt him as much as possible and make him not want to be on the field. Remember, football is a violent game. That's what the guys are out there to do, is hurt each other. I want Travis Kelce to be miserable out there all day. You know, make Patrick Mahomes beat me with his other weapons. So I'm probably going to be waiting until Sunday afternoon, probably 2-3 minutes before kickoff, and I'm going to just pound all the Kelce unders as soon as they get as high as they get, because everybody all week is just going to bet Kelce overs, Kelce touchdowns, Kelce receptions overs, because that's all people are talking about. Like, you can't turn the TV on without hearing Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I got no opinion on it one way or the other, but it's just going to drive the prop prices up constantly, because it's all people are going to bet. You know, ask any bookie that comes on this week what their biggest exposure is. It's all going to be Kelce props.
Fading the fairy tale. That is what Jason is doing here. So under fest on all Travis Kelce. Was there anything else that you bet, or not really? You're just waiting.
Mostly waiting. I'm not like going crazy hitting the prop openers, especially because knowing I want to bet unders, you know, it's a lot of times you have a chance to wait and let the prices go, the lines kind of drift up. I did bet Kyle Juszczyk to score a touchdown and to score the first touchdown. I'm still looking, you know, obviously you got to shop around and get better prices. I got some like 30-1. I think I got 40-1 on Juszczyk. But yeah, you know, I happen to like Kyle Juszczyk, the Polish fullback on the 49ers. He's one of my favorite players.
All right. What number did you get for that, by the way? First touchdown.
30 and 40.
Okay. I like it. I like all Juszczyk overs, cause they're all priced very nicely. Okay.
He's a great player too. His overs are not priced to his skill level.
I would agree with that. Okay. Beyond Super Bowl 58, then, we just talked to Adam Burke briefly. He said he hasn't really delved into baseball yet. Have you at all, Mr. Baseball?
Very, very little. Usually after the Super Bowl, you know, you get about a week or 10 days where I don't really have to do much. And then I start getting into baseball. But the markets open earlier and earlier every year, futures and stuff. So if you really want to get anything good, you kind of have to be paying attention early. We didn't talk at all last week about the Corbin Burns trade. That was kind of a big deal to Baltimore. I kind of had my eye on that. I have some home run futures, you know, to lead the league that I'm interested in, and guys like Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman in Baltimore. I'm pretty high on Baltimore this year. I think it's, you know, their time is now sort of thing. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about the O's. I know you should be too.
I am indeed. Were you surprised at how little they gave up for Burns?
Yeah, kind of. That's the kind of trade that, like, you hear a competitor gave up that much, and you're like, well, I would have beaten that. You know, like,
that's right.
You know, I'm surprised other teams didn't want Corbin Burns. You know, he's a Cy Young winner. He's a great pitcher.
You know, Paul Spohr was on. He did give his opinion. He liked the Orioles over, which was set at 87 at the time. It's still in the high 80s here. My pushback on it was, by Pythagorean theorem last year, by sequencing, that they were more of like a 91 win team than they were a 102 win team. Yes, that's still over the 87, right? That Spohr was talking about last week. So that was. Did you find that a curious number to start out with him?
I do only because the AL East is such a bloodbath that, you know, I have a hard time. You could easily be the favorite in that division and finish third or fourth, just because everybody is putting out relatively good teams, except maybe the Red Sox this year.
Last thing, Jason, we talked famously, or you did famously, about the flyover before the Super Bowl, go over 4.5 because of your Pentagon contacts. We can't find that prop anywhere else. I think you succeeded in getting it pulled down everywhere.
That's unfortunate. The only thing is I wish they really took bigger money on those props, because I think the most money I got down on one of those is 50 or 100 bucks. So
yeah,
sadly, it's not gonna break the bank this Super Bowl. Still got to find some other stuff to bet.
All right, Kelce unders. We will we'll see how that goes, and you'll check back in with us later in the week.
Yep, can't wait. I will be there later this week. Talk to you guys.
Jason Weingarten from Palm Springs got out of the inclement weather in L.A., which really was like a flood there last night.
Yeah, wild weather.
Yeah, really bad day. Yeah. All through California, but specifically Southern California. Hope everybody is okay there. Speaking of the Orioles, Rufus Peabody is an Orioles fan. He will join us on the other side. All of the Super Bowl prop talk you could want from the guy who is probably most famously linked with it. From a Washington Post article so many years ago, Rufus Peabody joins us momentarily to talk all his Super Bowl 58 props. We'll try to pull out as many as we can from him in the process and get his thoughts on whether the value is as good as it once was, prop markets wide. We'll find that out on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Always a pleasure to have this gentleman on with us. First time at the D, I believe. I had him at the South Point for so many years over time. I've known him for over a decade. He first came to sort of public knowledge, I believe, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, with a Washington Post article so many years ago regarding Super Bowl props and how he and his betting team were exploiting those markets. Here we are all these years later, and he's doing it still. It's Rufus Peabody, everybody, co-host of the Bet the Process pod, half the Massey Peabody team. He joins us now. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Gil. I'm tired, but...
Are you trying to steal my water? Was that what just happened?
I was pointing water to gesture that I wanted water, too.
Oh, I see.
I've been here with you in studio at the D.
Oh, you have for a podcast.
For the Megapod,
which you'll do this week as well with us.
I will.
Yes, but not for a numbers game.
Not for a numbers game.
All right, so let's start not at the beginning. I don't need to hear where you were born or anything. By the way, you like the O's trade for Corbin Burns?
I'm ambivalent.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps us this year for sure, but I was really high on Joey Ortiz. I'm a lot higher on Joey Ortiz than Sig is, actually, yeah. Which I was trying to convince him. Like, I was like, why don't you like Joey Ortiz that much? But
what I love about this is, like, we're here to talk Super Bowl props, but as soon as I brought up the Orioles, your face lit up. Like, this is your... We should point out, we're both of that, again, that pocket in time of Washingtonians that were too young for the Senators and too old for the Nationals. So we're all Orioles fans. Mm-hmm. And you still go to games all the time.
Well, when they make the playoffs, when I'm in, yeah, you know, in that area. I mean, I'll go down for a weekend series or something like that from New York.
Yeah.
But I will say what we have right now as Orioles fans is hope. And I love the fact that we have this stockpile of prospects. And it's like once we start trading them away, it's like that potential suddenly is gone in a way. Like we're turning it into reality. But it's like,
without,
I don't know.
Without
I love,
the safety
I love
net. The,
right. I love the idea that like we're building and that we have this like that we're going to be getting better and better and better.
I love your use of we and us. I still love that about it. Yeah. It's a very childhood thing you carry with us. Okay.
Well, I meant me and you, but...
No.
But
you and the Orioles. You're part of the organization.
The royal we.
Okay. So let's go back to the beginning of this. Am I correct that it was a Washington Post article years ago that first sort of...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
What year was that?
This was the 2000... 10 season, the 2011 Super Bowl.
God bless.
It's a long time ago, Gil.
It's a long time
ago. It's hard to believe it's been 13 years.
And I probably met you in 2011-ish or something like that at Sloan, something like that. So how, first of all, how did that come to be? You, let's go back. You were at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
You did your thesis on what?
Psychological inefficiencies in the baseball betting market.
Got that, Kelly?
Yeah. My thesis was similar.
Yeah, it was similar. Yours was, I'm sorry, but Chris Singleton is the better player than Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, when you can do that for the economics degree, that's pretty money, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you and Ed Fang, like, very large brains. So then you decided that you wanted to do an internship. An internship didn't exist, but you decided you want to do one at Las Vegas Sports Consultants.
Well, this is before the senior thesis.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I talked my way into an internship. But it was between my junior and senior year.
Roxy was there at the time.
No, Kenny White.
Kenny White.
But I like cold called, and it, you know, they were like, he's not available. Call back in 2 weeks, like on Sunday at like noon or something like that. It was like they were just giving me the runaround, and eventually I just was persistent.
You beat him down.
I got Kenny White on the phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Eventually talked him into having me out there. I was like, you don't need to pay me. Like, I just want to learn.
And learn you did, and I don't mean to like distill it into a 20-second soundbite or anything, but you decided at some point, this is not, you know, I don't want to do this. I want to actually be a better.
Well, I think the decision just kind of happened for me.
Okay.
I met a group of bettors back in, I guess it was the winter of 2009, and they took a chance, free rolled me for the 2009 baseball season. We were doing some live betting, some other stuff. After a month, I had made the equivalent of my yearly salary, which, by the way, was only $25,000 at Las Vegas Sports Consultants. I took that job and I loved that job, but it was not about the money. And at that point, like they tried to convince me to just come on with them full time. And, you know, clearly the compensation's a lot better.
Yeah. Okay. So that was not the group that you ended up with.
It was.
Okay.
Well, it was the group that I was with for a number of years.
Right.
I'm still close friends with all those guys.
Okay. The person who met you in line, like, was not part of that group, if I'm right.
No, the person that I met in line was Ed Teach, Mark DeRosa.
Who's been on this show.
Right. It was at the Golden Nugget. I was behind him. He literally ordered a whiskey and Coke while he was putting in props. He was up there for 30 straight minutes. He got the openers, and I was right behind him, and I was like, who is this guy?
So how did
move? Order a drink while you're in
line. And then I ran into him at the Palms asking about NBA props a few months later. And so I followed him out into the parking lot to kind of, cause I was a little sheepish to say anything. But I followed him out in the parking lot, cause I wanted to ask, like, I was like, who is this guy? Like, I've seen him, you know, yeah. And he tells the story of he had his hand in his pocket on his mace and he was ready to mace me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by the way, is he okay? I haven't heard from him in a while.
He's doing well. He's not in Vegas anymore. Yeah, living in Florida.
That's what I heard. Okay. How does the Washington Post article come to be?
So it comes from the Massey Peabody ratings, which I started with Cade Massey for the Wall Street Journal back in 2010. And I was trying to get those sort of more widely publicized. And I talked to Dan Steinberg from the Washington Post, who had the DC sports blog. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember it very well.
And so asked him if he would use those or, you know, tried to pimp out the ratings to him. And he didn't, but he came back to me that January and was like, hey, I'm actually trying to do a feature on like Super Bowl betting in Las Vegas and the prop betting. And it just started from there. He ended up following me around and actually he spent more time with my girlfriend at the time. Cause she was actually running around from book to book a lot more.
Fair to say that the publicity, that the theme of publicity became a conflict point with the rest of your group sort of throughout the arc of your days with them to this day?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, I think, initially, for sure.
Yeah.
They weren't happy about that because they were like, look, someone, they know what your car looks like. They know it's got the rubber band side view mirror. Like, you know, you're making yourself a target. Like, you know, they're like, what good can come out of that? And yeah.
Yeah. But it was something that you struggled with because you didn't mind that.
No, I didn't mind it. I like the recognition.
You like the recognition. Okay. Does, and we'll get into some of your props here, what you're willing to share. is the value, we're talking prop market, Super Bowl prop markets wide now, just as a body of props. Is it anywhere near as exploitable now as it was then?
It's exploitable in a different way. Back then, we were betting props that had 30% plus edges regularly. Jeez. Like the openers were amazing. Your William Hill was coming out with some receiver at 46.5 yards, and we bet him down to like 33.5 yards. Like they were just taking a season long average or something like that. You know, the win would open no roughing the passer at no -115 every single year. You know, you're betting that up to like -200 plus, right? And so it was the gravy train of openers. That was like what we really focused on, being getting everything ready really quickly and being ready for those openers and having people stationed at casinos around Vegas, you know, having relationships with people that worked behind the counter to, even though most of the time those people just gave you disinformation or they didn't actually know, but actually knowing not to trust them and still staying there, right? So we just hustled so hard back then.
And that was in the day when, like, you didn't know when necessarily every casino would open theirs. Yeah. You kind of knew the Westgate, but you didn't really know the others.
Exactly. And yeah. Sometimes stations would come out at, like, they'd sneak some stuff out, like, at 10 p.m., and everybody else had quit for the day, but our guys are still there, right? And so there was a lot of return to hustle then. So you had these huge edges you got. You bet stuff into place, and that was kind of our betting at that point. Like, we got a lot down early. Now it's shifted, and I should say I am, like, back, you know, I'm working with some of those guys from the past again for the Super Bowl. It's kind of fun.
So every Super Bowl, the band gets back together.
I think we've done it the last 2 years before, and now we're doing it this year as well.
All right.
It's just easier logistically, too. You know, they can hit, like, Mississippi and Atlantic City and stuff like that. But now it's trended more towards betting on game day because you don't have great opening numbers anymore. I mean, they're much better if you're the sports book, I should say, because you know, books like DraftKings are offering props every single week. And so they aren't as clueless. And so actually the opportunities for those listening, like are the props that you don't see every week, right? Because sportsbooks don't have a lot of experience pricing those. Those are the ones you want to attack.
All right, let's dive further into that. Let's try to get to some of these Super Bowl 58 props that you have bet that you're willing to share. Because you're still showing up at the Westgate for the opening line.
Yeah, I literally bet four. I made four bets there.
All right, we'd like to hear them, Rufus. You know, what you're willing to share.
And one of them was a mistake.
Rufus Peabody coming back on a numbers game here at VSiN.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Yes, sir?
I sent him over to get water. Like, I could have done it during the break, but I didn't think about it.
Kelly had it. That was his promo. Kelly, you didn't get to scream ANG. He missed this moment. That's the voice of Rufus Peabody, everybody. Not just half of the Bet the Process podcast with Jeff Ma, also half the Massey Peabody team, and known primarily for all of his Super Bowl prop bets through the years. By the way, you still enjoy doing Bet the Process with Jeff?
I do.
Yeah?
I really do. We have some great guests on. We got Kevin Clark last week, who I totally have a huge man crush on.
Is Kevin Clark the fourth down guy, the coach, the high school coach?
No, he's a journalist. He's now with like the Omaha Productions thing. He was with The Ringer before.
Oh, that Kevin Clark. Okay, I was thinking about somebody else. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. He's like, he's basically the only football content, national content I consume, really.
Kelly, they had me on after eight seasons of Bet the Process, and my opener was, I knew you guys would get to me after eight seasons of this.
Hey, man, so the best for last, right? Or something like that. Yeah.
Mine was a third well-received by the surveyed audience afterwards. No. A third, not so much. Let me ask you this before we get back to the Super Bowl. This year, correct me if I'm wrong, this year was the first year that you started seriously betting college hoops.
Second year.
And it is now your bread and butter?
I'd say that. I mean, it and golf. Like, there's a friendly rivalry between college basketball and golf.
Screaming at each other. What?
Golf won the rivalry this week, thankfully.
Oh, did you have Wyndham Clark?
I did. Well, the thing is, I actually had more on Åberg to win. Or Åberg, I should say.
Åberg.
Actually, so, he's going with Åberg now, is what he told the media apparently this
right,
week.
Right, but then the next round they said, actually, no, he said he wanted to be Åberg.
Okay, never mind.
This is the Grillo Grigio.
It really is.
Here's my hot take on him.
Yeah.
He looks like Tom Brady and kind of talks like Tom Brady. He's like Norwegian Tom Brady. I'm serious. You look at his face,
does.
His
he
eyes. I'm like, this, like, he's going to be the GOAT, clearly.
But you see this? By the way, before you continue, there's reports of somebody who like got really smart on Saturday, and in the event that the fourth round would not be played, started making top five, top 10
parlays.
Outright winner parlays. And so it's a fascinating thing.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's that smart because the broadcasters were talking about this. The fact that
they were.
Yes, the whole round they were like, oh, because there's a very good chance this tournament ends after 54 holes. So someone just is.
I'm just saying to have the presence of mind to bet it. I know that the broadcasters were saying it. Yeah.
Right. The question is those bets can be voided.
We'll see.
And
it's going to be a big question on it.
I mean, clearly, it's not in the spirit of the game, but you know, for others to debate.
That's right.
But I had Wyndham Clark 100-1 here, which, and, you know, I can't get quite as much down as I can. That was the only place I bet it. It's the only place I got the 100-1. So, but the great thing about that is that it frees up more cash for Super Bowl betting.
Gotcha.
So versus winning somewhere else where I'm not going to just have cash immediately.
What convinced you to start betting college basketball? Because 4 years ago, if I ask you, are you going to bet college basketball? You're like, what are you talking about?
Right. Like, so what convinced me is a partner I brought on who built this amazing college basketball simulation framework. And it's his baby. It's his thing.
Totals or sides mainly?
Both. Mostly total. Like, totals are our bread and butter.
Okay.
I've been able to help out, not in game. Although we do have a second half thing. I've been able to help out on the projection side, helping feed better, like doing the data science to build a better projections that go into that. But the simulation framework is really, really beautiful that he's built, and it's.
So Super Bowl 58 almost becomes a sidebar for you.
For sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
the Super Bowl is not a huge portion of our yearly volume or anything like that. It was a lot bigger back in the day.
Yeah.
When we weren't betting as much on everything else. But this is just a tradition. It's kind of fun.
It's a tradition, unlike any other. What did you bet so far? So you go to the Westgate this week.
I go to the Westgate.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I was anticipating we're going to have like 95% of our volume on game day weekend. And so I wasn't really stressing about getting all my numbers done. Like, I still don't have defensive players or kicking or punting numbers done. I need to do that after we're done here.
A very lax version of Rufus Peabody.
Right. This is not what I was in the past.
Yeah.
I showed up. I only put in four bets, and one of those was a mistake bet, actually.
What's the mistake bet?
And actually, the mistake bet is one that I talked to Patrick Everson and Ben Fox afterwards, and they asked what I'd bet, and I told them that. I didn't know it was a mistake bet at the time. I'd misread my spreadsheet. So it was Mahomes over 13.5 longest rush.
Oh, man.
It turns out, Mahomes in my... I have my little thing that's referencing the distributions and pulling in from the Sims, and Mahomes and Pacheco are on consecutive rows, and I'm looking across, and I'm looking at the Pacheco number.
You're a little older now, so it sort of meshed into each other.
So honest to God, I wasn't trying to spread disinformation, but
that's what you ended up doing.
Yeah, I ended up giving out. Yeah,
he didn't do it on purpose.
I did not do it on purpose. Yeah. Sorry, Patrick.
Ben and Patrick, he did not do it on purpose.
See, what, it literally
but
happens.
But then I created a nice narrative around it too, right? Mahomes, you know, I do think that narrative actually is true though, that Mahomes is going to be less likely to slide. I mean, both quarterbacks rushing are.
Yep.
You're not trying to protect yourself for future games at this point anymore.
Yeah. I played him over 26.5. So, yeah, I'm sort of simpatico with you. What are the three bets you made that were actually legit bets?
I'm not sure. Remember, I bet Brandon Ayuk over 9.5 or 10.5 first reception. I think 9.5.
Okay.
I think they opened it at 8.5 and someone beat me to it and I get 9.5.
So can you take us for the person who's newer and newish to betting, even veterans who are listening, how is it, what is at the core of your projections there? Are you looking at Brandon Ayuk's first catches? So what's the prop again? His first catch is over 10.5?
Over 9.5.
Are you looking at all of his first catches for the year? How are you calculating that?
So I'm looking at his distribution of receptions. I'm looking at it not just first receptions. I think there's going to be too much noise in just that. Although if I want to later on dive deep, I haven't done this yet, I could look and see, oh, is his first quarter distribution different? And that's actually one thing with George Kittle. His distribution in the second half has been very different. And trying to figure out how much of that is actually signal versus noise, right? Is he being deployed differently? And you can go into like, is he running different routes and things like that. But in this case, I was just looking at, when I say I'm looking at, I mean, I'm running code that's doing this.
But that, even that part you just mentioned is good to hear because it shows you're not a robot about this. At least you're talking about football itself there.
There's different levels you can go to
yeah.
on depth on all of these.
Sure.
And so for me, I'm not saying, oh, Ayuk has been over 9 in this percentage. It's smoothed out. Like he could have had a ton of exactly 9-yard catches and very few exactly 10-yard catches, right? And that's going to not be super predictive. You care more about what that curve looks like. And so, you know, adjusting for defense, looking at what the Chiefs give up and then relative to league average on those, you know, to wide receivers.
If someone is out there listening right now, I'm sure someone is, who is like, wow, this is exactly who I want to be. This is the guy that's on the radio right now. This is my North Star. First of all, what would you say to them and how long?
Send me your resume.
Okay, send you a resume. But how long would it take for them? Because you've been doing this for years and obviously it's gone through any number of iterations. But at the core of it, what does that person need to, what's the education that person needs to have?
So for me, I think the most impactful thing were the econometrics courses I took in college. But I think you need to have some sort of data science base, whether it's econometric statistics, something like that, a way of answering problems and be able to do some coding.
Okay.
And I'm mostly a self-taught coder.
You're a super nerd ball like that.
Exactly.
You love that stuff. Okay. And your partners are not. That's their skill set is getting it in.
Well,
getting the bets in.
My former partners were not.
Yes.
Although they're very well versed in numbers and stuff like that. Like
sure.
No, my partners now, one of my other partners is way better than me technically.
Okay, these are not the band getting back together.
Right. In terms of like the dev side, I'm not a developer or anything like that.
Okay. Do you remember another prop here before we go to break or you want to save them for the other side? You'll have to jog your memory that you've bet so far.
I honestly am not sure.
Okay.
It was in probably another over. I've only bet really overs so far.
All right. We'll get at the core, you believe that, right? Overs early, unders late. Typically?
Yes. Typically.
Are you just saying that to appease me right now?
No, I think that's true.
Okay.
It's true. If you want to bet an over, you want to bet it earlier typically
because you never know.
It's 100% true. I was trying to think of a funny joke to make.
Oh, okay.
Like about how, that's all I ever bet is overs, right?
Yeah. All right.
Watch out. He's coming back for the under on that Mahomes first rush.
Yeah. That's right. He's got the best of it right now. We'll see if he can see if we can jog Rufus' memory. What else he bet or what specifically he might be looking at to bet as the Super Bowl itself approaches. Brother of Tom Peabody, the inventor of Superb Owl. That's how we get around copyright stuff with the NFL. Rufus, coming back.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Rufus Peabody, kind enough to hang with us for a third segment this morning. His week, Super Bowl props week. And let me just say this right off the top. Captain Jack, I'm sorry. I have just let you down here. Rufus, obviously, not only part of Bet the Process podcast, not only part of the Massey Peabody Analytics team, not only betting, but also part of Unabated, co-founder of Unabated. Can you give, now this is, you're on the spot here.
Not again.
Now you're so bad at this.
Not again.
But can you give the people, I don't know why I talk like Cosby right there, but can you give everybody the elevator pitch for Unabated? Why should they use Unabated?
Great betting tools, community, education.
Let's try that again. Okay, what sort of tools might they use at Unabated?
So we have an odds screen that fully integrates with a bunch of trading tools, so you can figure out the price value of half points, conversions to money lines, first half stuff. It's honestly, it's indispensable for me when I'm trading.
What's your go-to thing? Is that what you go to? Probably?
Yeah, I use a lot of alt line stuff.
Okay.
To be able to go from a spread to a money line.
Where do they go to get Unabated?
Unabated.com.
There it is. Okay. All right. Just want to get that in. We have some
Slash Gil Alexander. No, just kidding.
No, don't do that. Okay. We have some tweets. Are you willing to just react to some tweets? Because people have questions.
Okay.
MTW at 24 Golfer. Gil Rufus told someone he'll have at least 2 million in props this Sunday. What a boss. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, it's me and the group.
Okay. Mike Rouse, this is not for you. Was Jason in Palm Desert because of the rain, or was he on the lam from the Postmaster General? I don't know. Could be either. Trip Tepper has this for you, Rufus. Rufus is, without question, the greatest prop bettor in the world. Curious the yield percentage.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just the one that people talk to.
Trip, he disputes your premise. Then Tripp continues, curious the yield percentage his group is targeting for the 2 million they're betting on the big game props. Is 4% to 5% realistic?
I mean, I would hope a little higher than that, but it all depends on what we end up betting. If we're just laying a bunch of minus 700 no's on game day with a lot of money, then it 4 to 5% is more reasonable. But I would say in general, we're targeting more in the 7 to 10% range probably.
Cody Lutz wants to know what you're doing with your arm in this picture. Kelly, there's another tweet about that. Jordan Hagel. To Rufus's point on the props, books don't post as often. I found discrepancies in the yards of first reception market this weekend for a bunch of different guys. 20 to 30% difference in some cases. Jesse Welch. I love that Rufus is ambivalent on the O's because he loves the idea of hope for the future so much so that he can't attach to the idea of winning now because his hope could end up ruined.
It's so true.
Now that's fandom for sure.
I know.
Let's see. Bill Hooker, I'm a dummy. He's used a different word. And Rufus is brilliant, but I'll bet he's been in studio on a numbers game previously. He has, but at the South Point. Many times.
Many times.
Yeah, but not here at the D. Okay. Did you remember either of the other two props or no? You didn't.
I think one was like a Juwan Jennings over first reception. Okay. It was basically like some first reception stuff.
Okay. What you're waiting...
Oh, I think I bet over field goals, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. I like this one. Over total field goals.
Total field goals. Normally, most years...
Made or attempted?
Made.
Okay.
Most years, I'm betting on the under field goals made. But I actually like the over. I got like over 3.5 at plus 140.
Okay. Over 3.5 plus 140.
Mm-hmm. I think you have two coaches that are not particularly aggressive in terms of fourth down decision making. At least they have not been. And you do have an indoor condition and two good kickers. But it's more the fourth down aggressiveness stuff.
So that's more of a football calculus than it is your numbers?
But that's a numbers thing. Like I can quantify how often Andy Reid has gone for it relative to what I'd expect based on the down distance yardage situation.
Because that really is at the core, that all opinions you try to quantify. That's really what you're trying to get at. You don't want
all the actionable opinions, I guess.
All the actionable.
I mean, I have lots of opinions on sports like the Orioles that have no quantitative basis.
But you're that's fandom.
In my opinion, that Andy Reid off of the bye week, like that Andy Reid gaze, it may not be like the guy that's going to be the best test taker for the SAT. Like Bill Belichick would be better for that, given a short time frame. But that Andy Reid, given more time, will build a really, really good game plan. Whereas Bill Belichick could do it in a quicker amount of time. Get if he's got a short window, he's going to be better. With a long window, Andy Reid will be better. I have no quantitative basis for that.
But. I have heard you say many times, though, your basic operating philosophy is the more you allow your opinion to get into it, the worse off you are.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is, I guess my intuition is useful in like asking the right questions of the data. But it's more sort of on the development side rather than like at the end.
Any thing you'd like to share about? So you're waiting most of your action on the Super Bowl in the prop market. By the way, do you have anything on the side of total at all?
No.
Nothing. Okay. You're waiting for Saturday, Sunday. That's when the frenzy of activity is going to happen for you. Right now, of that 2 million, how much do you even have in action?
50,000.
That's it.
That's it.
So you're going to put 1.95 million in play probably.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably starting a little bit earlier. It's just logistically going to be difficult to, you know, do it all on Saturday, Sunday.
Are you willing to share, if not for this year, maybe you are, like what you are anticipating? Maybe you don't anticipate. Maybe you go in blind. You're just going to look at the numbers. But is there something in the past where you've been like, oh, this has been something that we could take advantage of late?
I mean, I think a lot of the sort of nose on like laying big prices against the sort of almost the SGP type style things in Nevada where they do have a yes, no, like those are almost with like the leftover money, you're good. Like if I can lay minus 700 on something that should be minus 1100, that's a nice, it's a nice edge, but it's a small edge, but it's a meaningful edge. So I will say that every year it's a little bit different. There's props that I anticipate the numbers getting really good on, for example, like a Christian McCaffrey not to score a touchdown or something like that. And every year there is some number that goes way up. Like I think 2 years ago, Cooper Kupp receiving yards got up to like 108.5 from, it moved up from like 92.5 maybe at the opener. And so,
yeah.
But then there's also props. There's guys that I expect are going to get bet up that don't some years. So it's really interesting. You're kind of reacting and trying to gauge where the market's going to go and then try to decide when to act, because the number gets too high, other sharp groups are going to come in and bet the under two and kind of destroy that momentum. And so you're like, there's an art to that.
So that's part of the calculus too. You're aware that there's other groups lurking.
Yeah. And also at some point you're going to have to, I mean, to be able to get enough down, you kind of have to bet the under and then let it go back up and then bet it. And then, you know, just because there's just only so much time. Like Super Bowl Sunday is an absolutely crazy wild day.
Do you even sit down and enjoy the game at all once it starts?
Last year, I remember hopping in the hot tub for the second quarter thinking we had like, we're like screwed. I just remember the first drive was so bad. There was like a Jalen Hurts fourth down rushing touchdown or something like that. We lost
right.
The no fourth down conversion, the Jalen Hurts no touchdown. Like it was pretty bad.
Have you had a losing Super Bowl before?
Oh yeah, many.
But more winners than losers?
Yes.
Okay. Give me your...
Like the worst was the Eagles Patriots one. The
just all went bad for you.
That was... Right. That was the Nick Foles.
Yes.
Philly special one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much scoring.
Yes, there was. That play particularly hurt you?
I don't remember. I just remember like we were staying at Train's place and
you're in the field.
We went out like this is the Legacy Golf Club. We hopped out and played the 10th hole at halftime, like the par three there, the signature hole.
That's awesome.
It was fun. But we were very drunk and knew we were losing a lot of money at that point.
What was your greatest either game or moment in Super Bowl prop history? What stands out to the positive?
The first night with the betting group was amazing. That was the Saints Colts. But the first one I bet... Before I was like, when I was still at LVSC, I didn't even watch that Super Bowl, Gil. At that point, I had gotten investments from friends and coworkers and borrowed
some
money.
You were nervous beyond belief.
I was nervous, and I had a bet on Gary Russell to score the first touchdown. And I remember after the game, like going check, like loading up my computer. I'm like, okay, do I have money left? Like, am I going to be out on the streets? And seeing Gary Russell scored the first touchdown, I was like, holy shit. Because that was like 20,000 right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the actual reaction right there from Rufus. Dude, I know you got to run. Thank you. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Megapod. This is your standard Super Bowl week Megapod. Always appreciate you doing that.
Enjoy it.
Rufus Peabody, everybody. And apologies to Captain Jack for not mentioning unabated earlier. My God, what an oversight. Rufus Peabody, everybody, at Rufus Peabody on the old Twitter machine. And again, his podcast, along with Jeff Ma, is called Bet the Process. Check it out. You do it weekly?
Weekly. We do it weekly.
Weekly. Okay. In the off season as well, right?
Yep.
All year long. Great guests on that podcast. That does it for me and Kelly. We'll be back tomorrow. Drew Dinsick, among others, will join us. We'll be on Radio Row later in the week. Aaron Schatz, Dinsick, James Salinas going to join us. A whole bunch of folks down on Radio Row Thursday and Friday. And again, the Megapod on Wednesday. Vegas Lifestyle Pod already out on the BD. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in Vegas.